I'd like to thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity to preach tonight. I'm going to be sharing from John chapter 17, and as was read to us earlier, verses 20 to 24. I've entitled this message tonight, That They May Be One, and I'll be preaching on the topic of unity amongst Christians. Back where I come from in the South, there's an old saying that goes, the war never really died in the South. And that's obviously in reference to the Civil War that took place there. And you'll be occasionally driving down the road, and you'll see a pickup truck drive by with a Confederate flag waving from the back of it, or you'll see in someone's yard a Confederate flag waving from a flagpole. Sometimes you'll see in a shop window or a bumper sticker a sign that says, the South will rise again. So all this to say is the saying comes from that, basically, the war never really died in the South. Abraham Lincoln, he was the president during the Civil War, and he hated the Civil War. It brought division amongst the nation, and that's one thing that he hated was the division there. There's two parts there. He realized that the war brought hurt to both sides, and he visited both sides to demonstrate that he cared for what was going on, and also to demonstrate that he wanted there to be unity. He hated the war for the division that it brought. He wanted America to be united. He wanted them to be working as a team and to be of the same mind and have the same goals. And just like Abraham Lincoln, that's what Jesus desires for us Christians, to be of the same mind, to be of the same love, and to be of one accord. And that's what my message will be about tonight. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 24. Jesus has just gotten done praying for his disciples, and now he's going on to pray for those who will believe in him later on. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. The first point that Jesus brings out here in this prayer for us believers is that he desires that Christians be unified. And I looked up the word unity or unified, and I came up with a couple definitions. One of them says, in harmony or agreement. Another one said, everyone concerned agreeing on the same aim. Paul defines unity in Philippians 2 as being of the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that's what Christ desires for all of us. He was there getting ready to die on the cross, and just before he dies, he's praying to his Father, just as you and I are one, I want the believers to be one. That's what my prayer is for them. He desires that we have the same goals and the same efforts as we strive to share with the community the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, and also to come alongside other Christians in the faith, just encouraging them along the way. He prays before he died that Christians would be one, just as he and his Father were one. God has given each of us different talents and abilities that he wants us to use in witnessing to other people and encouraging people along the way. And I've loved it here since I began my internship, just seeing how people are involved here in the church, whether it was, you know, passing bulletins out here and greeting people as they come in on Sunday morning, or whether it's during the greeting time, just, you know, going around and saying, it's good to see you today, or it's good to meet you if it's a visitor. Could be preparing a meal, could be working in the nursery, could be collecting offering. But it's exciting to see how all of us are involved here in Family Baptist and how we are all coming together to share the gospel with others through the talents and abilities that God has given to each of us. And I was thinking about this during the last family and friends supper that we had. Right there at the end, we're all getting ready to tear everything down. And I just kind of looked around the room. Different people were grabbing chairs and putting them up on the racks. Other people were taking tables and putting them where they go. People were in the kitchen, putting away food, taking out the trash, doing the dishes. But we were all working together. We all had one goal there in mind. That's to get the gym and the kitchen clean, and we're all pitching in and doing a part. And that's the way that God desires it for me all the time here in the ministry. All of us being of the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Jesus also, going on, the glory that Jesus gives to us is to be a part of the family of God. In verses 22 and 23 we read, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." The glory that Jesus has given to us is to be a part of the family of God. As a part of the family of God, Jesus desires that we function there as one unit. It says in John 1:12, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become the children of God." And as children, as one family, Jesus wants us to be working together in a common effort to share the gospel with the people in our community, that Jesus came to die on the cross for their sins, that they may go and live in eternity to be with Christ. God wants people that are unsaved, as they come into the church visiting, as they see us functioning together as one body, to identify us with Christ, to identify us as the family of God. And what's the reason for this unity? Why does Jesus want people from the outside, people who are unsaved, to see us functioning as one? Why does he want people to look at us and see us unified as one family, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind? The reason is, found in 20 and 21. I'm going to read that one again. It says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." That the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the reason that Jesus wants us to be unified, so that we can be a testimony to our community that Jesus, that God sent Jesus into this world to die for mankind's sins. This is the reason for our unity. And when we are not unified, we're not working together as a team, you know, we bring opportunity for God's name to be reproached, for God's name to be thought lightly of, and for God's word to be blasphemed. I was reading a quote by Francis Schaeffer while I was preparing for this message, and he says, "We cannot expect the world to believe that the Father sent the Son, and that Jesus' claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of the oneness of true Christians." And I love it here on Sunday mornings after the greeting time. We basically are asked, you know, did we meet anybody new for today? And different ones of us will stand up and share of a person that we met who has been attending here for the first time. And what we do as a congregation, we all clap together. And what are we communicating as we clap? Or we're communicating as a whole that we're glad to have you here. We're glad to meet you. We're glad to welcome you in here to Family Baptist. And we're doing it as one congregation, as one unit, as a whole. And that's the way it should be all the time here in our ministry and in our work with one another. There's an illustration that I meant to share earlier, but I just wanted to share this because unity is not taking place widespread in the churches across America. There's one summer job that I had where I was talking with a lady, and she looked at me and she's like, "Justin, you used to go to church, but I don't anymore." She's like, "The people at my church, they'd always talk behind my back." She's like, "You know, that didn't get to me, but then they started talking about my kids." And she's like, "And then that was it. I was out, and I've not been back since." And I looked at her and was like, "You know, I'm sorry you experienced that with Christians." And I began to walk her through the Bible saying that, you know, in the Bible, Paul says in Philippians 2 that Christians are to be of the same love, of one accord, of one mind. And then I went on to say, you know, Christians are to be, you know, serving one another, just as Jesus did when he came here. And I went on to witness to her. But my main point to her was that Christians were to be of the same love, of one accord, of one mind, striving together to share the gospel to other people. I enjoy reading biographies, and there's a biography that came to my mind as I was preparing for this message, and that was on the life of Samuel Morris. He was born and raised in Africa, and as a young child, he was captured by an enemy tribe, but God miraculously rescued him, and he was able to escape from that enemy tribe and went on to be raised by some missionaries. And underneath their teaching, he became saved and became interested in the Bible and learning more about the scripture, Well, the missionaries discipled him and trained him, and then he still wanted more. So they said, well, we've taught you all we can teach you, so why don't you go to a Bible school in New York that we know of? So he arranged with a captain that he would work for his room and board there on the ship. Well, as he got on the board the ship, he soon found out that the crew was very divided, that they hated one another, and that they hated him. They did not like Samuel Morris. And while on that voyage, they physically abused him, they verbally tore him down with their words. But he decided that as a Christian, he was going to respond in a Christ-like way, and he was going to forgive them, and he was going to pray for them. And when different ones of them got sick there on the board, he went into their bedside and prayed for them. When there was other needs that arose in the ship, he prayed for those things. And one by one, different ones of the people in the crew came to know Christ as their personal Savior, including the captain. So Samuel Morris gets to New York, he goes to Bible school, and unfortunately he dies at a young age. A few years later, the captain comes back to that same area of New York, and he goes to the house where Samuel Morris had been staying at, and he has to speak to him, but finds out that Samuel Morris had passed away. And he begins to reminisce on his memories of Samuel Morris. And he told the person there at the house, he made us one. And he goes on to say how when Samuel Morris came aboard the ship, the crew was divided. They're from different cultures, different backgrounds, and they're a divided crew. But as different ones of them came to know Christ as their personal Savior, they began to have the same love for one another. They began to work together and became one. And it wasn't, you know, Samuel Morris necessarily that made them one, but it was Jesus that made them one. He came into their lives, and the atmosphere on that ship changed because they now had the same love. They realized that Christ had died on the cross for their sins. Jesus goes on to say that one other desire that he has for us Christians here is that he desires that we be with him for eternity. In verse 24, we read, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus desires that us Christians go to live with him for eternity one day, and that's our blessed hope. That's what we're looking forward to as we continue on here in this world, is to go and spend eternity with Christ and live with him for eternity. And as we're going through here in this life, our goal is to bring glory to God. And how can we do that? As we witness to others and as we encourage other believers in him. The main point here in this message has been that they may be one, that the world may believe that that God has sent Jesus. And how can we be one? Well, as I've already alluded to here in this message, is continue to contribute your talents and abilities here in the church. You know, whether it be behind the scenes or whether it be in front. It may be, you know, cleaning here at different points in time. It may be making a meal for somebody. It may be passing out bulletins or being a listening ear as to how someone's week went. Other ways that we can be unified is sharing a testimony. Hey, I got to witness to my neighbor this week, and here's what I got to share with him about. Or another way, it can be thanking someone for their work of service. You know, thank you very much for, you know, preparing a meal for me. Thank you for collecting the offering. Thank you for special music. Or telling them, that's exciting that God's using you to witness to your neighbor, to witness to your coworker there. Or, you know, I'm glad to see how God is using you to encourage another believer in him. And as we do this, we are becoming one. We are being of the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And as we do this, we are being a testimony to the unsaved world that Jesus was sent by God to die on the cross for mankind's sins, and we are a testimony for him. My last job that I had at Bob Jones as I was getting my master's degree was in the custodial department. I was a student manager there. And as a student manager, we had different responsibilities, and there was about 7 of us student managers there at the time. And our boss encouraged us to work together, to be a team. And what made us a team? Well, we had one boss whom we received our instructions from, and we carried out. We also would get together throughout the week, and we talked through the different problems that we were having in our buildings. We would offer ideas, and we come up with solutions for how we could fix those problems. We helped one another, clean up before and after events that took place there on campus. And we also helped keep the cleanliness level held high as we checked behind each of our different teams. Our boss also encouraged us to reach out to one another beyond the workforce, to pray for one another and do different events with each other outside just to support each other throughout the school year And we did. We prayed for one another. We'd follow up on the different prayer requests that were shared. We'd do the occasional hike during the summertime or an occasional meal during the school year just to keep up with each other. And I felt during those 2 years, we became one. We had the same goals, the same efforts, and we were coming alongside each other to support one another in the workplace and outside the workplace. And as we did that, we became one as we worked alongside one another. And Jesus, here in this passage, that's what his desire has been for us believers, is that we be one, that we come alongside one another to support one another through love, that we have the same love, that we be of one accord, of one mind. Here Jesus says here at the end of verse 20 and 21, Father, I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you very much for your word, and I thank you that you pray for us and you care about us. I thank you that we can be a testimony to our community here in the Minneapolis area, that we have opportunities to share the gospel with others, that you came to die on the cross for our sins. And may we all continue on the same love, being of one accord, of one mind here in the ministry, and as we encourage one another in sharing the gospel with others and encouraging one another to keep pressing on and serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.